Welcome, everybody. This is Natalie from ICAM staff. So it's 1 minute past the top of the hour, and just to make sure we have enough time to cover everything, I'd like to get started. So first of all, thank you so much for joining. I know that you're very busy at this time. You've just started on one or several PDP working groups, and this is not a light burden in the best sense of the word. The purpose of this session is to be a bit informal. That's why we chose the name classroom rather than webinar. The aim here is to cover the basics of the communication tools that you're likely to find when you start a working group. So while some of you might be very familiar with some of them, there might be a few that are still proving to be a bit confusing. So the idea here is that we skim over the basics, and then if you do have any questions, we'll deal with them at the end. My point here is that please don't hesitate during this classroom session to type your questions into the chat. I'm very fortunate today to have my two colleagues with me. So Lars Hoffman, whose name you can see in the attendee pod, he will be ready to answer all your questions regarding content, so to say, and for any technical difficulties you may have, so audio quality or Adobe Connect issues, please address them to my colleague Michelle Smiter, whose name you can also see in the pod. So just before we start, I'd like to give you a quick tour of the policy support team who you work with on your various working groups. So here are a few names you might recognize, Marika Koenig and Mary Wong and Lars. Lars for the RPM PDP working group. We also have Julie Headland, who works with the ESAC and with the GNSO, also on the RPM working group, as well as Steve Shan, who you'll have noticed on the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group. So these team members are what I like to call the more content-related team members. So regarding background documents you need to read, regarding maybe some sub-team work you might have already started having or will do in the future. These are the people to direct your queries. For more admin and technical issues, so such as the ones that I'm going to attempt to cover in this session, these are the people you can address your emails or queries to. So Gwen de Saint-Géry has been with ICANN for a long, long time and knows everything there is to know and is of a huge support. And you have Terry and Michelle, our newest hires, who are equally extremely available and experienced and can guide you through any technical and admin difficulty you may have. The agenda for today, it was sent in the email invitation and the calendar invites you received, try to cover the annoying questions you might have when starting on a PDP working group. So where do I find information? Something is mentioned in the mailing list, a document, and you don't know where to find it. We're going to try to cover this. Talking about mailing lists, there is some confusion, especially if a few of you have already been in cross-constituency working groups. The mailing lists and the GNSO work in a very different manner, so I'll try to go over that for you. There'll be a special section for working group members, so this means as opposed to observers, and so hopefully I'll be able to clarify some elements there. Please remember also that if you are joining today as an observer, it is very easy to become a member, or vice versa if you are a member, and struggling maybe with the mailing list traffic and attending conference calls, you can also become an observer. So I'll touch on that later. And then a quick overview of the Adobe Connect room and how to join conference calls. And lastly, I'll go on a strong campaign to have you all join GNSO Learn, and I hope I'll fill it appropriately. If I don't, my colleague Lars can be sure to intervene. So first of all, where to find information? We don't have that many platforms of information within the GNSO, but it can be some sort of a struggle to know where to find what regardless. So the first place I would send you to if you were a complete newcomer wanting to know more about the GNSO would be the GNSO Master Calendar. And in the Adobe Connect room, if you look, you have a pod at the bottom with a web link written there, and you have a few of the URLs that I'll be talking about. So please don't hesitate to click on that. And to save the URL, they will come in handy. You do have the GNSO master calendar URL there. The GNSO master calendar will have all the working group, the GNSO working group calls announced there ahead of time. Once the working group call is over, they will have the transcripts, MP3s, and sometimes, as in today's session, the slide deck attached. So if you're worried, if you're confused about the date of a call, you can always refer to this. And if you've missed a call, you can always have a look here and retrieve the recordings fairly easily. You also have the council, the GNSO council calls, which are also advertised here, as well as all their recordings. The active tool, I should say, for working groups is the wiki. Now, the wiki can be slightly confusing, so I'll try to make it a bit easier for you. If you look on this page here, you have at the top, you have several tabs. So here we are on the GNSO tab, what I call the landing page. If you scroll through, if you look through on the left, it's called Spaces. And the last main category here is called GNSO Working Groups. It's under this that you will find the wiki space, so the workspace for the PDP working group you've joined. So once you've found that workspace, and I've chosen the RDS working group page as an example, you come to your working group homepage. The menu for the wiki is always on the left here in the grayed out box. Luckily, all GNSO working group wiki spaces are built in exactly the same way. So you will have, I don't know if you can see very clearly, maybe you can full screen if you're having issues reading. You have the list of all the working group meetings. So in the same way as the GNSO calendar announces the meeting ahead of time and then has the recordings posted there, this is also a place where you can find your working group recordings. You will have the process framework and other background documents that are necessary if you're joining the working group late, for instance. You can catch up there. And further down, you have a list of the working group members and key, a list to the mailing list archives. These are quite important. For instance, if you're confused about if you're registered as a member or an observer, if your affiliation has changed, for instance, you signed up to the Google document as an individual but recently joined maybe an ICANN constituency, such as the intellectual property constituency, the IPC or others, maybe it's worth having a check here to see under what affiliation your list is. And as with most things, you can modify this by a quick email to the GNSO secretariat. The most important point for me, and the one that has been raised more in the Google documents that you all signed up to, was raised as the problem we're having with mailing lists. The mailing lists in the GNSO come under the two mailing lists per working group, and there's a good reason for this. The main discussion mailing list, so by discussion mailing list, we say the one on which you will be able to post your ideas, your comments, and equally the one on which you'll receive content-related emails by staff. Therefore, I mean a list of documents you might want to refer to or when they share an agenda. This is an email that you can read and respond to. The easy way to distinguish this one is that it will always start with GNSO. For those of you who are observers on this call, this is the only mailing list you have access to, and you can only read. You don't have posting rights to it. For those of you who are members, however, you have reading rights and posting rights for this GNSO mailing list. But you equally have access to the second mailing list, which starts with NTFY. NTFY is short for Notify. It's intended as a distribution list only. So only secretariat staff, so Michelle and myself, for instance, can post to this list. The only things we would post to this list will be conference call details. So we have a lot of members being confused by this and emailing saying they haven't received the conference call details. It's worth, therefore, running this mailing list in your inbox and checking to see if it's not stuck in your spam. We need to remember that the reason why these conference call details are circulated on this closed, non-archived mailing list is because they must remain confidential. Only members have access to them. It's very, very easy to become a member, but these conference call details must be kept within this list. It's tempting when someone on the discussion mailing list asks for conference call details to forward the dial-in information that you've received, but please don't. Please wait for staff to reply to a query on the mailing list, and we will keep the member who's lost the dial-in details abreast of the necessary information. We've also realized that depending on where you come from, depending on what previous experience you've had in organizations, mailing list etiquette or GNSO mailing list etiquette can sometimes be a bit confusing. If you've arrived a few months after working group has started, you will be inundated with emails and some which are, say, just plus one or a smiley face, and some which are almost the size of a novel. So it's, in order to take part in a mailing list, there are just common sense rules to follow. You know, the subject line should be clear, as in if you're responding to someone, use the same thread. If you're starting a new thread, then please just make it easy to make your title easy to be found. So if people need to do an inbox search to retrieve your email, they can. Do remember to sign with your full name. We're seeing huge amount of participants on these working groups. Some of them are almost on 200. So chances of someone having the same initials as you this time around is fairly big. So please remember to sign. We have to remind even our most experienced working group members, because they have been used maybe to being the only person with that name. And given the amount of newcomers that are coming, they need to be careful of it. If you are responding to a member's email and on several points, there are several ways you can do this to make sure your email is clear. You can change your font, you can change the color of your font, or you could, you know, quote precise comments only, making very clear in your email which is the passage you're quoting and which is your response. It's very easy also when receiving an email, for example, with the agenda of a call, to reply to all, to send your apologies, or to ask for dial-out, or to say you're going to be late. This does mean that it gets sent to everybody. So please don't hesitate to only reply to the GNSO secretariat when doing so. On the GNSO secretariat, there are 5 of us on that mailing list. We cover the clock. So you can make sure that whatever you send to that list will get taken into account, and it does mean you're lightening the weight of the mailing list for the other members of the working group. Do not, though, be intimidated by the content of these mailing lists. You know, some of the members in these working groups are specialists, and their comments can be fairly precise. It takes a lot of bravery to be the first one to say, I don't understand or I'm unsure what this document means, but I can guarantee you that you will have a lot of support instantly if you do admit to being a bit confused. It means also that given the amount of newcomers that are here at the moment, that you will be able to network more easily. You will be able to find people and meet people who do have knowledge on the specialty that you may be lacking. So in order to make it more interactive, please don't hesitate to use the mailing list. This section is for working group members specifically, but as I said, I think a lot of you who did sign up as observers maybe did so out of wariness. It's your first working group experience. You're unsure as to how to proceed, but potentially, in a couple of months, you're also confident enough to become members. So it's important that you follow this. At the beginning of every working group call, you'll have heard the chair of the working group mention statements of interest. So first asking if anyone has any changes to be made to a statement of interest. And secondly, reminding people who haven't yet done so to fill in a statement of interest. These are compulsory for members. It's entirely up to you what you choose to put into the statement of interest, how much information you actually reveal, but it's key that you have one to your name on the GNSO wiki. Those of you who haven't yet done so will have received, I think, a heavy load of reminders from myself or my colleagues asking you to do so. It's so important to do so that we are considering changing the status of members who do not fill in a statement of interest and having them as observers until the statements of interest are filled in. So please, please reach out to staff if you haven't yet done so, and we will help. In the meantime, I just wanted to show you what it looks like. So on the emails we sent out with you about the statements of interest, we send you the wiki link to this page. So it's fairly self-explanatory. If you'd like to create a new SOI page, you have the link here. Your wiki logins have all been sent to you. Your wiki login traditionally will be your first name, lowercase, dot your last name, and the passcode will be sent to you via email. If you haven't found that passcode or you cannot retrieve the email, you have the option to reset your passcode because your profile has been created. So please don't worry about a lost passcode. Once you log into this, you will be asked to access a page such as this one. Now, it's very important to follow the instructions that are sent as an attachment in the email for statements of interest, because there's just a slight tricky maneuver at the beginning for you to create the page. Filling it in is easy. You can fill in whatever field you want to in the ones you see on the screen, but the beginning is a bit confusing. So please, please open that attachment, and the explanations there should make it a lot less difficult. This is a statement of interest, right, Chuck Gomes? It's just to show you that there is a choice here in fields to fill in. He could have added a photo, he did not. And he has not hesitated to write not applicable or leave it blank when he didn't want to fill it in. So don't be put off either by the option there is in this statement of interest to disclose whether you have a conflict of interest with the working group PIM. You are free to say so or not, but if you, all that's required is that it be known on the statement of interest. You will not be asked to justify this. This will not be used against you in any way. It's just simply for clarity of information. Especially if you are a newcomer, then it's very important, I think, to have a clear statement of interest, as everyone will be looking on this website for the profile and to find out more about you. Once you fill in your statement of interest and you are a member, you will be subscribed to the two mailing lists we talked about previously. Here's an example of the email invitations that are sent out to this Notify mailing list, so the closed mailing list on which we only circulate conference call information. These are always built in exactly the same way. This was the RDS email invitation. This is just so you're not completely confused when you receive your first one. The time in ICANN is always in UTC, in universal time. For people in Europe, such as myself, this is fairly easy because we're 1 or 2 hours ahead of UTC. For those of you in the US and Pacific Coast, it's more of a calculation. So what we tend to do is to put in the time converter already for Pacific time and Eastern time, and then London and Central European time. Because, of course, not everybody lives in these locations, we have the time URL link, which will lead you to the time and date website, and in which you should be able to fairly easily find the right time. Again, if you're confused by this, a quick email to the Genesis Secretariat, and the email is CC'd in the slide you see here, and we will be able to help you figure out when to join. We always have a detail about audio connections, as this will be confusing. We'll deal with that a little later. But more importantly, if you look at the bottom of this slide, you have a participant's passcode with the passcode, which is hidden here. This is the oral passcode, such as the welcome passcode, which was provided for today. This is what you provide orally to the audio operator. Below, underneath, you have a list of dial-in numbers, so starting with Argentina for A and listed in alphabetical order. This very same email will be sent out in a calendar option, in a calendar invitation format too. So that we do this two ways. We send out the calendar invitation directly from our Outlook calendar. So most of you should receive this as a normal calendar invitation. We've realized that some inboxes, such as people with Yahoo accounts, for instance, their inboxes block the calendar invites we send directly. So to solve that issue, we also add the calendar invitation as an attachment to the email invitation. So if you have already accepted a calendar invitation from us, you do not need to open and download the attachment on the email invitation. But this may be good for you to notice in case you haven't realized yet. Those calendar invitations give you access to the Adobe Connect Room and to the conference calls. So for those of you who are members, I think that you might have some of this stuff. But for the observers amongst you, I'll go over it very quickly. So you've all made it to the Adobe Connect Room today. That's very good. Well done already. There might be a few things that you don't know, however. Please remember to always sign in with your first and last name. Most of you have done that today. The reason being is, well, simply out of courtesy for other working group members. As I said, there are 200 members and observers in other working groups, so it's key that you can be identified easily. It's good for staff to be able to help you, too, if ever you have audio connectivity issues. If we need to follow up with you afterwards, if we have your full name, we can find your email address and therefore communicate with you. And equally, if you do wish to participate in the Adobe Connect Room chat, so the pod at the bottom of this room, or via the audio, the chair will call upon you. So it's nicer if you have your full name. The screen you're seeing where the slides are being shown is what we call a share pod. All the frames within the Adobe Connect Room are called pods. This is the share pod. We cannot edit live on this document, which some of you might not be used to when other software allows you to edit live. But this is why you will have staff often during working group calls taking notes frantically in the agenda notes pod you'll have seen in your working group calls. The Adobe Connect Room chat, which most of you are familiar with, have the one restriction that maybe not everyone has realized is that their content is kept. Their content is kept and archived. If you are a working group member, you'll have noticed that we copy the Adobe Connect Room chat and send it to the working group at the bottom of the email with the attendees and the MP3. This is why we do expect some standard of behavior. We also expect content to be kept strictly to the agenda of the call. That's why you have several communication tools with working group. You have the Adobe Connect Room chat and you have the mailing list. So sometimes it's better if there's a new subject to develop, even if it's prompted by something during the working group call, to keep it for the mailing list, where you'll have access to more people. It's, bear in mind that the chair is potentially following a document in the share pod. He's also listening to what's being said, and he's also trying to follow the Adobe Connect Room chat. So as tempting as it is to use it professionally, please don't. Please use the mailing list as much as possible. Other than the content of the Adobe Connect Room chat, there are other protocols in the GNSO, and these are simply based on the need to have a smooth running call. For instance, a lot of you will have seen during conference calls people with a hand raised icon next to their name and the working group chair saying that someone is put in the queue. So in GNSO working group conference calls, you cannot just speak into the call. You have to be put into the queue. The way you do this is to raise your hand. So if you look at the top of the Adobe Connect Room, you have the torso of a man with his arm raised. So that's an icon you can click to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't automatically give you information, give you the right to speak into the call. You need to be called out by the chair. There might be two or three people before you who have raised their hand, and so it's their turn to go first. Once the chair has called out your name, you are free to speak your question and make a comment. Once you are done, you must remember to go to that same icon and lower your hand. If you keep it raised, the chair will think you have another comment to make. So please remember this. It's very easy to forget. You will hear the expression, sorry, that's an old hand, a lot in a working group call. This simply means that you forgot to lower your hand. In this drop-down menu, also, you have other options. You have a red cross. You have a green tick. These can be used at several moments. They can be used simply to show support to whoever's speaking or to an idea. You can show a green tick quickly. You can also show the red cross. I'm pretty sure that if you do use the red cross, showing that you disagree, and someone will ask you to comment on this, so please make sure you're ready to back that up in the chat. The chair of the call can also ask you to use these in an informal poll. For instance, trying to find out if there's a need for a working group call next week. You might ask if you feel the need to join. And in that case, you would go to this same drop-down menu and use the red cross or the green tick to show if you're available. All ICANN meetings, be they face-to-face or remote, are strictly frameworked by the ICANN expected standards of behavior. These can be found online. I've put the link in the web link part of the bottom, and they're on your screen right now. I do recognize it's quite hard to read. They all basically talk about politeness and common sense and respect of each other's thoughts and comments. When a conversation does get out of hand, it happens rarely, but it does, staff will intervene immediately and ask you to abide by these standards of behavior. Equally, if you believe within a working group exchange, be it in the conference call or on the mailing list, that a member or several members have not adhered to these standards of behavior, please don't take it into your own hands, and please address the working group chair, copying in staff, and we will act immediately. So please don't feel that this has to put you off in any way. You have support at hand if ever something makes you uncomfortable. One of the issues we have on conference calls, and this this doesn't necessarily touch the lucky ones among you who have a good internet and phone connection, but if you are traveling, for instance, or if you are in a remote location, it can be extremely frustrating to try to follow a conference call and not hear correctly. So a few of you have dialed into the audio bridge today. So let me clarify a few of these terms. The audio bridge here means simply using your phone to connect to the conference and be able to listen in and speak. So that's where the phone numbers and the audio passcode, such as welcome for today, come in handy. It means that you will just pick up your email or a calendar invitation, use the dial-in number that suits you the best, and wait to be put through to the operator. The operator will ask you for your passcode, which you will provide, and equally your first and last name. First and last name, these aren't for the telecom provider. This is an ICANN request that we ask of the provider, so please don't hesitate to give your first and last name. If you'd rather not use the telephone bridge, and this can be for several reasons, maybe there is not a dial-in number that suits you, maybe you are traveling and would rather not incur international dialing costs, you can also use a voice over IP. This is a fairly recent option we've had, and it's proven quite good. If you haven't yet tried this, however, and you would like to try this on a working group call, I would advise you to join a few minutes early. Michelle, Terry, and myself are always logged in very early to prepare for working group calls, and we will more than happily test your audio to make sure that once the working group call does start and you do want to talk, that you can do so comfortably and will be heard. So the trick here is, well, we always prefer you to use a headset because you can minimize the background noise. But you must select the telephone icon, so at the top of the toolbar. Those of you who have already selected the telephone icon need not do so anymore. But those of you who haven't, if you click on the telephone icon at the top of the Adobe Connect Room toolbar, you'll have the option to connect your audio. It will then ask you to select using your computer, which means using the Adobe Connect Room microphone, and you just follow the instructions until your telephone icon becomes a microphone icon. The microphone icon simply means that you've activated your Adobe Connect Room microphone. The key thing to remember to do is to mute once you have done gone through this configuration. To mute, you would click on that microphone icon again, where you have the option to mute and unmute. Now, a lot of you, well, all of you in the attendance list have got a microphone next to your name. This doesn't mean that your microphone is activated. It simply means that staff have enabled the microphone option for you. So it's quite confusing at first when you log into the Adobe Connect Room and you see a microphone and think that you're going to be able to be free to speak. You aren't. So if you have got your hand up and you're getting ready to talk, please just go through the clicks on the telephone icon at the top. It takes about 10 seconds to make sure you'll be ready to speak into the call. If your internet connection doesn't allow you to activate the mic, we have seen this issue arise. If there is no dial-in number or you're traveling, but you want to join the call, you can email the Genesis Secretariat and ask for a dial-out. So a dial-out simply means that you will provide us with your phone number, ideally several phone numbers if possible, to guarantee we get hold of you, and the operator will dial out to you 5 to 10 minutes before the start of the call. Obviously, this incurs a cost. So if you do have the choice to dial in yourself, that's clearly preferable. But we understand perfectly well that sometimes it's not possible to do so. So please, please reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to help. So just to go over the timeline of joining a conference call, you'll remember that you'll receive an email invitation. Please remember to send an apology or ask for dial-out if those two needs arise. The reason why it's always much better to send an apology is not out of courtesy. It's because attendance is tracked in working groups. So your attendance, whether you only join the Adobe Connect Room or whether you only join the Audio Grid, will always be noted by staff. But equally, sending in an apology shows an intent to join, but which has been stopped by a certain situation. So this actually comes into a formal category of attendance. So if the email you send an apology does not need to have an excuse in, does not need to have a justification. Just say, I'm sorry, I cannot attend, and it will be taken into account. So please remember to do so. When you are dial into the bridge or join the Adobe Connect Room, logging in with your first and last name, remember that all calls are recorded and that the Adobe Connect Room chat is archived. And remember the working group traditions of mute and muting and raising your hand to be able to speak. Once you've gone over the practicalities of these tools, I would really, really encourage you to go on the GNSO Learn platform. GNSO Learn platform is part of iCanLearn, which is an interactive learning platform to cover all aspects or as many aspects of ICANN as possible for newcomers. So I went onto the GNSO Learn platform when it was created as a courtesy. I'm feeling a little bit condescending, I'll admit to that, but I was going there to correct typos maybe and not learn much. Well, I was wrong. I learned a lot, and I think that it's very easy to have your head stuck in the technicalities and specificities of working groups and not maybe see the bigger picture of what process the GNSO working group actually fits into. And the GNSO Learn is brilliant for that. I'll say so myself, I have no part in it. It's pick it up and drop it when you want type of course. No one, there's no results, there's no test. No one is monitoring how well you've done or what you've remembered. But if you have 10 minutes to lunch break type of moment, it's very, very interesting. This is what it looks like. You have an introduction to the GNSO, and then it covers everything, who the stakeholder groups are, who the constituencies are. But more importantly, and you'll realize I completed this, it says 100%, so it was good. More importantly, you have further down the line, you have working group chairs and ex-working group chairs with being interviewed over video about what it's like to be in a GNSO working group, and equally, what they found daunting and confusing about them. So I would really encourage you to go and have a look. Here are a few of the items that are covered by GNSO Learn. So if ever there are a few of those that you don't know anything about or you'd like to brush up on, please don't hesitate. A lot of these items also, in an effort to try to make the information available to all on different platforms, a lot of these items are also being covered in our newcomer webinars. So our newcomer webinars are not staff hosted like this one, they're community member hosted. The previous ones were hosted by the GNSO vice chairs, Heather Forrest and Donna Austin. These attempt to cover the policy development process as a whole, to give a very broad overview of where exactly your activity fits into the policy development process in the GNSO, and equally to give you a heads up of what it is to be an active working group member. So the interest in these sessions being community hosted is that they actually, the hosts actually share their experiences. They do identify to what it's like to be a newcomer, and they, with that in mind, they do attempt to make the information as clear as possible. So the next newcomer webinar will be in a few weeks' time, and notification will go out to all your working groups. So I do hope you'll attend. Additional tips following today's session, there is the acronym helper. ICANN is a nightmare of acronyms. If you go to the GNSO website, at the top right of every GNSO webpage, you have an acronym helper there. So please don't hesitate to use this. Again, ICANN Learn, which is the overall learning platform in which you can find GNSO Learn. And also the main one is find an experienced working group member and ask questions. Ask questions also on the mailing list if you want to. Please also don't hesitate to reach out for any reason to the GNSO SOAC admin team. So that's Michelle, Terry, Glenn, myself, and we'll be more than happy to help. Last but not least, we also have a Twitter handle and a Facebook page, so you're more than welcome to follow us there. And that, I think, covers most of what I wanted to say today. So I see that Lars has been replying to a few questions in the chat. Are there any questions you would like to ask regarding what we've seen or anything else that comes to mind? Before I forget, recordings and the slide deck of this presentation will be posted on the GNSO Master Calendar and equally will be sent by email to all those who RSVP to this session. Hearing no questions and seeing no further queries in the chat, I'd like to thank you all for taking part in today's session. Please don't hesitate to reach out to any of the staff members that you see CC'd on your working group exchanges. I said we're here to help you and to support you, and we do it with great pleasure. Thank you ever so much for attending today, and this concludes today's call.